T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we welcome in Greg Bornero. He's an editor with the Hartford Business Journal. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Hey.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. Thanks for being with us. Recognizing and redefining Connecticut's negative narrative. So here's what we were talking about before we got you on, other than going through logo items. Yeah. Is the negative narrative, does it come from within? Does it come from outside the state? How do you read it?
I think it starts from within. Obviously,
right.
the budget deficits over the last 10 years now, 10 plus years, have sort of really defined the state, not only in what's been written about locally in the media, but it's become a national story in many ways. I mean, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, they've all sort of covered Connecticut's budget troubles, both past and present. And I think that's sort of, and then that's where the sort of the outside negative narrative is starting to form as well. Do I think outside of Connecticut people are really focused on Connecticut? No, I mean, we're a small state.
I don't think they're thinking about us at all.
No, not at all, really. I mean, the problem is companies aren't really thinking about us either.
Yeah, well, that's the bad part.
I don't think the outside world is really focused on Connecticut, but certainly internally in Connecticut we are, and we know the narrative of high taxes, budget deficits, high cost of living, businesses leaving, population leaving.
Yes.
All of those, there are truths to all of those things.
Well, I just wonder, and we've tried endlessly under Governor Roland, under Governor Rell, under, still revolutionary, Mayor Malloy or Governor Malloy. And, same way, they were trying to sell the state, figuring out these little slogans that'll get people to think of us. But I guess people, what, they just don't have to?
I mean, it comes down to, you could create all the slogans and taglines you want.
Yeah, who cares?
What's reported in the media on sort of a daily basis is what matters more than anything else. And the only thing that's been reported over the last decade plus now is budget deficits and tax increases, and that's certainly had a negative effect. In my column where I talk about this, I do say that we have to be careful about being overly negative, not using hyperbole.
Right.
Which I think Republicans tend to do sometimes to make a political point.
Oh, but, God, yes.
But again, there is some truth to all of it. But if you get a microphone and shout it every day and be hyperbolic about it, I think you create sort of a negative narrative that's so negative that it's going to prevent Connecticut from sort of recovering. In my view, the best solution to all of this is policymakers, finally solve the budget crisis once and for all, which, it's not done yet because we've got a big pension problem that still has to be dealt with.
Well, there was so much confusion up at the Capitol this year that there's so many things that are on the table that people look at there and say, well, how are they going to solve any of our problems?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Governor Lamont, this is his first year in office. It was kind of bumpy. I think he's still trying to figure out, where he's going on many issues like transportation, which, he's going to be probably unveiling something somewhat soon, a new sort of transportation plan that's probably not going to have GOP support. So I think you need direction from the top, and Governor Lamont has been a little uncertain on certain issues, and you've seen that sort of play itself out in the last legislative session.
So what, what is ahead? How
do we turn it around?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you sort of create a more, I guess, business friendly climate? I mean, you've got to look at cost of living, not just cost of living for businesses, but individuals. I mean, it's expensive here. How do you maybe not reduce the cost of living, but prevent it from continuing to increase at the rate it does and make it more affordable to live in Connecticut? I mean, I don't have the answer. I think I don't think there's one sort of policy panacea here. I think there's, different policies added together that create a change. I think we do need to work on ways to make the state more business friendly, because, you know, and there have been attempts to do that. You know, Governor Malloy did this big government incentives to businesses that didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. Governor Lamont is sort of reversing that. But, you know, things like regulatory reform, which we always hear about, but nothing really gets done in that respect. I think it's small things where government has to show signs that they're changing the way they do right. business. That are going to help. There's not going to be any overarching grand plan to reform Connecticut, in my view. I mean, not.
Yeah, yeah. You know, look, when we were working in the Gold Building, one of the managers, I think it was Paul Douglas or the program director, one of the two, they had this pen and ink drawing, this ink drawing of Hartford 1995, okay? And this is back during the colonial days, which, for better or worse, and worse in general, it in fact did get people to kind of believe, hey, this is kind of a cool place. You know, all that stuff that was on and never happened because the darn thing was a fraud. So I think So I think people are very hesitant to have, you know, Harold Hill come on in here and, you know, start Music Man. So it's very tough for people to believe that it can happen. This place was hotter than heck.
Yeah, I mean, Connecticut was actually, people were flocking to Connecticut in the 1980s. Moving away from New York to Connecticut because we were viewed as a place where, you know, taxes weren't that high. Obviously, we did the income tax in 1991, and, you know, since then that sort of changed the trajectory of the state. I'm not saying the income tax is directly responsible for all of it.
It's part of it.
We're not going to ever be the low-cost state, so that we have to sort of throw out.
Right, exactly.
That's over.
Exactly.
How could we be more competitive within the Northeast region, and how do we make sure we maintain things like the high quality of life, good schools that the southern states maybe don't have? And I think that's the middle ground that Connecticut's got to find, and, you know, we've been trying to find it, but the budget issues have really hampered the state. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of these budget issues are coming from decisions that were made a long time ago in terms
right.
of not saving for pensions and health care benefits of retirees. And that, you know, lawmakers just haven't figured out how to tackle that.
Well, I think it doesn't seem like there's any short-term solution.
No, I mean, in terms of tackling the pension, you know, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars in pension obligations. Governor Malloy did attack some of those costs, but there's still another big overhang that's coming due.
Right.
And there is, I mean, there's no easy answers. I mean, there are some really difficult choices that could be made, but that would be unpopular with unions, and, you know, given Democrats are control of everything right now in Connecticut, it's probably not a realistic
right.
option.
You know, I have to be honest with you, Ray's talking about colonial days. I'm thinking back to George Washington. I wasn't thinking Ben Sisti. My God.
oh, sorry. Whoops. George was a land speculator.
Oh, my God. Great story. It's on the HartfordBusiness.com website. The Greg Bordenero, who we've talked to before, editor for the Hartford Business Journal. Greg, thanks for the time.
Thanks
we always appreciate
on.
It.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Seriously, I'm sitting here thinking, what does George Washington have to do with it? And I said, no, you moron.
He slept here.
Oh, my God.
The North House. He slept at the
Some
North House.
Just
all over the place.
Oh, my Lord.
No, it's just, but truly, I mean, that did so much damage to so many
people.
Oh,
my God. He killed it.
And, of course, everybody jumped in on this thing saying, I'm going to get a limited partnership. Not only did you lose all your money, but the RTC was coming after you.
Well, we've had a couple of those type of things.
Yeah.
You know,
boomer bust kind of thing.
Well, we had that golf chant, that the thing.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah, in the boat building. Yeah,
that went real well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.